Welcome to Trainers Talking Tech on Tuesdays.
Right, like city, gonna set my soul, gonna set my
soul. Hey, welcome everyone, both of our listeners. My name is Carl Rosenthal, and as always, this is Trainers Talking Tech on Tuesday. But not as always, we're joining you from a remote location, an undisclosed location of which is Room 103 in the Sands Expo in the Venetian Hall in Las Vegas. And as you can hear from the rapturous applause and the screaming that was occurring, we're once again being joined by a whole bunch of MCTs, some MVPs, and an Australian, and another Australian.
Koala.
I don't know what it was. Yeah, this is leading somewhere, I'm sure. A gaggle, a murder.
Certainly not a Google
of MCTs. Being of MCTs. Just a little bit of housekeeping before we go start doing all the rest of the introductions, and we will introduce everyone. As always, if you want to be able to get a hold of us for the show, you can tweet us at TuesdayTTT, or alternatively, you can visit our podcast to subscribe. The website is trainertechtalk.net. So, with that out of the way, let's do some introductions. Let's start from my right, which you'll be able to see on the podcast.
Hi, my name's Don Hester. I'm an instructor at Las Positas College. How about that? Oh, you can reach me by going to my website, www.learnsecurity.org.
There you go.
And then everything's there.
And I think our sound technician might like it more if you don't tap the desk.
Oh, this?
Some of us did not hang a boom mic. So with a website address like that, you teach Active Directory?
A plus.
All of the above. And then some.
All right. We're still going around to the right, otherwise it's just going to confuse the listener.
Okay.
So
this is your faithful co-host, Brian Bork. You can reach me, and I will tap the table. You can reach me at Brian Bork, LODS, which stands for
Learn On Demand Systems.
Right, which is also our faithful sponsor. That's all we're going to mention right now.
Hi, I'm James Finley, the wonderful sound editor who's going to cut off Don's hand if he keeps tapping on the table.
I didn't even do it last. It was him.
Yeah, you can reach me, Jay Finley and Zan on Twitter.
Mike Corkery, I'm a trainer, consultant, exam developer. You can reach me at jcorkery@hotmail.com.
Wayne McGlynn, I'm the other Aussie in the room. And my Twitter handle is at Wayne McGlynn. McGlynn is spelled McGlynn for India, double N for that anyway.
And we should just pause to congratulate Wayne on giving up work.
Oh yes.
and therefore saving students around the world.
What you can't see is that Wayne is kind of pointing at
that. Actually, for a lifetime of service, I think it is a good thing.
Oh, does he get a lifetime of service award?
Yeah.
That's right.
This is the first ever Trainers Talking Tech on Tuesday Lifetime Achievement Award.
That's right.
To be awarded to Wayne McGlynn. It comes with absolutely no prizes. So.
Can you hear the gold watch as I'm handing it across?
I think he's just happy it's not post-mortem.
So without the kiss, though.
So,
who
we have
next?
So, my name is Christine Flora.
Do you have a website? Your own personal website?
I do, but it doesn't get updated very much.
You cannot see that Brian is talking to Kyle.
he responded, so they're going to know. Believe me, our listeners know us like the back of somebody else's.
That's it.
All right.
Speaking of our listeners, hi, Brian's mom.
Hi, Brian's mom.
My name is Robert Rook. I'm a instructor at Indiana University. You can reach me at MrLeopard33 on Twitter.
I want to know what tank of that. Mr. Leopard sounds like a bit of a...
Hey, he has the 33 at the end.
Well, we are in Vegas.
So is the Iron Man.
Sure, sure.
I said, well, like, hike. I see his stripper dance.
No, we don't. No, we don't. No, we don't.
Moving on. That's
right. Yes, moving on.
Well, hello there.
We are joined by Mr.
This is I'm Brian Tuttle, another a fellow MCT with a long litany of offenses to talk about later. But to differentiate, I am Brian, spelled correctly with a Y. So you can reach me at brian_tuttle@codewright.com. And I'm the president of a consulting company out on the East Coast, as well as a trainer.
And that's the East Coast of America.
That's right.
Today.
For our other international
listeners. We're trying
listener.
To get
them out. That's right.
Hi, Glenn.
That's true. Where is Glenn?
Glenn's probably enjoying a cold beverage somewhere.
That's
which
true.
Is what we should be doing.
Speaking of cold beverages, I was promised beer.
I did mention
afterwards,
that. Yeah.
You must earn your beer. See, before, when you couldn't be bothered to come and record, then we had beer. But now that you're here.
Now that you can be bothered.
Right, okay.
That's right.
So, we've done the introductions.
Trying to stop it. Yeah, yeah.
A little bit of both.
Now, we should say that for those who have listened to other recordings.
I'm so sorry.
Yes, first of all, we're really sorry. And second of all,
thanks for coming
a
back.
A good yes. collection of people, at least three of these people, have never recorded with us before. You have recorded with us before.
I am doing the tick count. There is a tick count. You're up to 7 in the last 2 minutes.
We should have an award for that.
For counting?
No, for him.
Toastmaster will be able to.
There's an interesting start to the conversation. So, Mike, what are you talking about there?
Well, Brian exhibited several ums and ahs in that last 2 minutes, and for all of you watching the podcast, and more, back it up, you'll hear them. Brian does not hear them. We're breaking him of that habit slowly but slowly.
The good news is that our sound technician will get rid of them, so they're going to get rewind back and say no.
I didn't hear those. You might want to leave those in as a...
I like that. Yeah.
That's a good thing for a trainer to know, not to say all the time.
So,
whatever. What's your favorite one?
Mine actually seems to be like. Or alternatively, I just keep on saying whatever word it is over and again while my brain catches up.
I have also heard you say, you know.
It hasn't happened yet, you know. Well.
There you go. You
maybe
know?
His brain hasn't caught up.
Yeah, like his brain hasn't caught up. Whatever.
What about you?
I always do something, but I don't know what. Because I don't.
I should have said, what about you, Don?
Random voice.
No, just kidding.
But it is important to know, as trainers, to know that you're what your own failings are in that, and it is becoming it's a matter of becoming self-aware about it, and then seeing how you deal with it, or as to whether you just accept it and move on,
or you hire a sound editor for free.
And that's true.
And then he takes those out.
But you can't. But you can't do that when you're a trainer in the middle of a class.
Sure,
I mean,
if you do. Should have been a DJ.
All right, I didn't realize that time travel was a part of our discussion here.
You don't train with a 7-second delay. Radio station.
Some of us.
Oh, that's for wardrobe.
Actually, do.
It only gets awkward when the students leave their radios on.
I recently did a Facebook Live presentation for Learn On Demand Systems.
Our sponsor.
When I did that presentation, the president of the company did not watch the live feed, but he did watch the recorded live feed and then played it back. And I feel like he may have played it back in slow motion because he counted something like, I was only doing it for about 12 minutes, and he counted something like 100 ohms and ahs. Now, that is entirely possible, but I found that he may have found every single word that may have sounded like an um and ah or ah, but it is a good thing to be aware of. And there, I just used a pause as nervous tick, and I did it on purpose.
For you viewers at home, did you notice that Brian was speaking much more deliberately this time, and he caught himself on almost every one of the nervous ticks?
But now it sounds forced.
Yes.
Yeah.
It does not sound natural, and that's one thing. So, let's delve into that for a second, because you brought this up, and you being Mike.
My fault, sorry.
Mike brought it up, and this is something that I would like to hear. Given your brothers, would you rather be natural, or would you rather be monitoring yourself constantly while you're delivering?
I'd rather have whiskey in my hand, because then it makes everything a lot better.
While you're delivering a class, I didn't realize that was an option in your classroom.
We're in Las Vegas, and let's be honest. Dean Martin did a great show, and he did a great show because he was drinking bourbon while he was going. I mean, there you go.
If you take, and this is the other Brian, if you take that example, why, and ask the question, why did Dean Martin do such a great show drunk? What did he have in his presentation, his process, that made, regardless of the state of mind, work for him? Because I ask the question to you, Brian, it's not whether you have to have your druthers in this direction or you're going to be nut free. Why can't you have both? And it comes down, for me, it comes down to two things. Right? It comes down to our original train-the-trainer process that we had, where you have the MOP process, the materials, outlook, and presentation down. When you have your materials down, and you have your outlook, generally you're centered, you're ready, you're prepared, you feel good, and you know what your presentation is, you're not going to have the ums and ahs. It's when you go off key and you're having this sort of a conversation where it's not scripted, you haven't done it 1,000 times in the past, there's a lot more pause because your brain is thinking and actively working to figure out where the next connection and line is. That, so I'm just throwing this out there as a topic to talk about. That's what it works for me.
Christine, you deal with customers more than you do with students, right?
Right.
So how do you feel your speech patterns vary when you're talking with customers versus if you were in front of a student?
Right. It depends, really, right? Everybody's holding up their finger one.
That's two.
But if I'm speaking in front of a client, it really depends on, back to Brian's point, is that it depends on how prepared you are and how well you know your material and how rested and prepared you are for the day. If I am caught off guard or flat-footed by a customer, I don't bullshit around. I tell them that I don't know what their answer to their question is, and that's true for training as well. So know your material, know it in and out, rehearse it, and be confident and well-rested and prepared for the day, and you will not have those decisions. But you have to be able to think on your feet, too. So as a planner and a project manager, I always am about, I've been told that I think well on my feet. It's because I've already thought three or four questions down the path of what they might ask given the information that I have.
Sort of like chess.
Yeah, sort of like chess. Or checkers.
I've never planned a move ahead in my life, so that is suck at both check.
So would that explain the 77 ums and oops?
Yes, absolutely. Michael, what can people do to help themselves with their ums and ahs and other mistakes?
Be aware, that's the first thing. You showed that right away. You had very few tips after pointed out. So get yourself teach on a regular basis. If you are a presenter, trainer, executive, go ahead and get recorded. get monitored, put somebody in the room with you just for providing feedback. So it's continuous improvement.
And I've just got a couple.
Yes.
And for those who are listening, there's my one. For those who are listening, it is still embarrassing and off-putting to have and go through that process of being monitored and critiqued. It is still, it still feels personal, even though that it's not. But the more you do that, the better things will go. In our case, what was it, Mike? A couple months ago, we were doing a presentation up at a university in New Hampshire, and I was doing a presentation on HoloLens, and post presentation, Michael had critiqued me, completely caught me off guard, wasn't ready for it, and I'm like, how dare you? But he had great content and comment, and it took a while to process and then actively look back at the last 75-minute or 60-minute session and think about what he was saying, and then not, and then recognizing that I didn't even realize I was still doing these things. Position in the room, how I was standing. Use of words was the biggest problem for me, right? I was using big fancy words that should not have been used or may not have been needed.
Rarely a problem on this podcast.
So, related to that, one of the things I had an issue with early on in my training career was a very strong local accent. Most people...
Has that changed?
...to 5-day class... cannot discern where I'm from until typically the fourth day of class.
I have exactly the same thing.
So it was an active process, and the result of being coached, recorded over a period of a couple of years, that I learned to break most of that habit, most of the time.
It's interesting because you call them nervous tics. We tend to refer them as filler words.
Yes.
When he said, oh, I've got a nervous tic, I was looking at it and thinking, it's twitching.
Oh, I thought you were going to talk about the little insects, since everything in Australia is trying to kill you. I figured that a nervous tic would be something that would actually bite you.
One that's not all over. No, it's just not quite
an anxious insect.
Yes. An anxious insect that may possibly bite you. Don has been extraordinarily calm and quiet over here. I'm just waiting for him.
Unleash.
Unleash.
So, I don't have a strong opinion about this.
I didn't think so. I have no strong feeling one way or the other. I had something and then I lost it because I was looking at Michael and I immediately thought of the word "um." And that can happen too.
Triggers. Certain, we call them triggers.
Certain triggers will make you have nerves.
Is that stunning?
You are.
But it's the reliance on your ability to transition and segue that will save you. As you look through that process, as you're going through, if you're a trainer going through this, as long as you know where you're going to next, and even if that is just simply opening mock and turning it to the next chapter to see what's coming in the next 15 or 20 minutes, that's just enough to get me into the right mindset to move things forward. So when somebody asks a really ridiculous question in class, such as, is that a segue you're riding? And that has nothing to do with Azure Active Directory, it's enough to prompt you into the right direction.
There are those non-verbal fillers that you do like changing the, you know, the manual, looking at specific people in the room always helps me keep focused and not use those fillers and remember where I'm going. So, and also for clients, if you're rather than looking off into the distance and reciting what you have, but specifically talking to people in your class and looking them in the face can help you ground yourself in that class and not do those fillers and get yourself on the ground.
So, do you pretend that your class is all naked too?
No, not
in an IT class.
There are some people in IT classes.
It's also handy to repeat the last part of the question that they ask you back to them.
Makes you look smarter.
And so,
or deaf.
Paul looks at me and asks a question about Azure AD Connect. And I go, Azure AD Connect, and my brain is then turning over at full speed trying to catch up to or come up with an answer that might allow me to move on or at least deflect that answer so I can quickly flip through the book and say, yes, but coming to that in 6 pages
time. Is that
just repeating it in a different way so you understand.
Yeah.
Okay,
so I have a tendency to...
Say it in French.
But...
It'd be a challenge, then.
Yeah. Yeah. Talk in French.
Say it in Esperanto.
But if you... I found that if you repeat something back as well in a different way, just to make sure, hey, I want to understand that I heard you properly, not just that I heard your words, but that I understand, then saying it back actually says, well, no, that wasn't what I actually meant, this is what I meant. And it still gives your brain some time to think about it, but also to really understand the question that's been asked.
And on that note, it's also, I'm finding as I do more and more virtual training, remote learning, getting myself into that habit of repeating a question, if nothing else, just to make sure that people who aren't in the room with me at the time didn't miss it. Because even though I've got microphones spread out, around the place, they don't like the microphone in their mind. I'm just getting myself into that habit.
I'm wondering, would you all mind talking to it as a transition point? When you're teaching either mixed or virtual classes, what do you do to control the speed of your class, considering that when you're remote, it seems that your normal talking speed needs to be slowed down in order for those who are not in the class to catch up?
I haven't noticed the need to slow down, per se. I have noticed the need to be much more precise with diction. So taking time to articulate, varying the pitch, things of that nature, but not speed.
So when you're clicking through, say you're in a GoToMeeting, and you're clicking and you're bringing web pages up, and then there's a 3 to 5 second delay between the click that you've made and the page rendering on your remote attendees' screens, and they're not able to catch up, and you've already gone on, you've spoken about that screen, you're on to the next screen or piece of code or that funny thing called Azure AD, whatever that is. You don't have any issue there?
I guess I clarify a little bit. So the pace at which I speak, I don't deliberately change. But I will generally do a little bit of segue each time I click. Habitually now, talk about where we're going. So on this next page, we're going to configure X to give it time to load. I don't know that I intentionally give more time in an online hybrid class, but I think that the time I already give seems to be sufficient. The segue that I provide, it doesn't come up, that particular thing does not come up a lot when I do hybrid online classes. So one main speed of giving, sorry.
I didn't mean to walk on top of you because James Finley will have a difficult time getting that audio correct. But one thing that I sort of want to add on to both of those is I find myself pre-explaining. I'm going to bring up this site, which will show you this while it's loading. I'm talking about, you'll notice when you get to this site, or when the site comes up, you'll see this. I do a lot of that because the one hazard I don't think you want to fall into is if you talk slow during a online-only presentation, or even in a hybrid environment, the people who are hanging on your every word may not be hanging on and may be falling asleep. You have to be much more cautious about speed, diction, enunciation, all of those things. And I think that slowing down actually loses more online students or attendees.
Right. I have a question for you, though. So since you now outline to your remote students what you're going to be doing on the page, what do you do when the page loads?
I repeat it.
Okay.
I'm a big repeater.
Or point out the particulars or the settings that are like the gotchas. If you don't do this, it won't eventually work. you won't have an error message, but it doesn't work properly. So those are the things I typically point out, or like in Azure, some of the things have to be lowercase.
Sure. So it's just more of a clarification process.
Yeah. Yes.
I have seen other presenters in other scenarios do that same process where they'll lead up to that page and then you land on the page.
And then they have nothing to talk about.
And then they have nothing to talk about, so you have dead air. And then 20 seconds, a minute later, then they continue on. You're sitting there going,
what? But it's a really good-looking page at that time.
Yeah, it pretty much takes an act of God to get me to stop talking, so I almost never have trouble finding something to talk about when the page loads.
And that's it's when you're doing a lot of Azure-based or Office 365-based classes.
No passing notes. They're throwing paper airplanes, just dear listener.
And blowing each other kisses, I might add. The Aussies.
Don's going to leave. He'll just get up and leave. I know it.
Hey, bro.
Sorry, Brian Lee.
That's all right. I'm finding it interesting that when you're going and delivering, a 365 course or courseware, that you've got the delay of the screen rendering, you've got the delay of Azure turning, you've got the delay of Office 365 turning, and sometimes, well, not sometimes, most of the time, it really does mess up the sync of the class and the process. So I was curious to see if anyone else had the same experience teaching not just online classes, or virtual classes, but virtual classes with, say, you know, that type of platform.
Well, I like the fact that you kept everything, our distraction, and you kept it and brought it back to what you were talking about without any problems.
Yeah.
That's a good thing that a trainer can learn, too.
Everybody in this room, I mean, what makes a really great trainer from a good trainer is that you add your own flavor, you add your own materials. You don't always just go off of a course where the outline or the PowerPoint. And so while the screen is rendering, that's a perfect opportunity to add your special sauce in the stuff that you're going to cover extra for that class. That's the perfect time to add that when it's rendering.
What happens if it's just happening all the time? I get the one once in a while, that's perfect. But when you're constantly waiting and waiting and waiting for those virtual classes.
That goes back to what you were saying before, though. I think it's your materials and your objectives. If I've got that, then I need to find a different way to approach that, because that's just not going to work. If I do fewer demos, I pre-record them and say, we can watch this, and do just some of those types of things. Because if I know if I'm going to be running through that level of delay, that you can't do it, why waste everyone's time?
Yeah. Right. I have had a tendency when I've been doing online training to essentially keep it to the content that's important, the content to deliver, but not do so much of that demonstration type thing, because particularly like a lot of the things that I'll do will be, say, command line as an example. If you're doing command line demos, by the time it gets to someone, it's generally scrolled past before they get to see it anyway, so it makes it more challenging again. So
it becomes a different type of demo. I do a lot of command line. No one wants to watch me type it anyway, so my demo becomes, let's have the script written, I'll use my highlighter to highlight while I talk about this, watch out, this is important, and we run it.
Yep.
So it gets rid of that.
And I think that guided lap time, where you're like, all right, I'm doing this, why don't you do it along with me, and where they can see what you're doing and sort of just kind of check in with you, as opposed to, here, watch what I do. Now you go do the exact same thing I just did. So.
Exactly how you take people in the eye. What? Just do that. That's how it's taught.
So I could have been in the military. Perfect.
Explain.
Yeah, okay.
That's a lot of blonde, gray haired, bearded knobs in the eye.
Knobs?
Wow.
It's a term of affection.
Is it true of the Marines as well?
What?
That no long haired, long gray haired.
No, not really.
Okay. I think the Air Force might take me. They're always hurting. Actually, the New Zealand Air Force.
No, you've got the New Zealand Air Force. You've got an Air Force, you just don't have any planes.
They have, because, again, they're here.
They have dirigibles.
They're upgrading to that next year.
Okay, so we've had our serious discussion, although you may not be able to tell, but it hasn't been very serious.
It's been quite serious.
Well, when the people were talking. So let's go around. When the people, the guests. Let's go around.
Oh, we're a guest.
And
guests are supposed to get prizes and gifts, and where's my room?
Since this is actually called Trainers Talking Tech, let's talk about a piece of technology that we're psyched about right now.
Paper planes.
Oh, no, not paper planes. We'll start with Doc.
What am I excited about right now? I want one of the smartwatches, like a Garmin or something like that. I saw Wayne's, and he was showing me that, and I saw that another trainer, James Johnson, he lives up in Washington. He had one, and he was posting on Facebook, and it gives him all his steps, but it's a nice little graph and gives you all the information.
Right on the...
No, okay. I think it was the app in his phone, and then he posted that, a screenshot or whatever, on Facebook.
That's the man to talk to about wearables. He's had 5 different wearables in the past 2 years.
That's true.
I tried the Microsoft band, but then the plastic part of it started coming apart on me. And then I tried a Fitbit, and I hated it.
Okay.
Take a look at Ed has
it. Yeah, he's got the one that I've got.
That one is very flashy. Straight. Everybody look at this watch right now.
we've discussed it before. I've got the Samsung Gear S3. And I've got the Frontier version.
And he's very keen on it.
I do like it. I had to do a reset of my... Well, no, I upgraded my phone recently, so it's doing a lot more notification than I actually want it to right at the moment. I just haven't tweaked it.
So. Does it do...
You could unsubscribe, I think.
I could.
Does it... Well, because I do, like, hiking, backcountry stuff, so I want a GPS to kind of keep track of where I am. But I also would like... And I heard the Garmin might have it. I know one of the Garmin products says, if you're swimming or something like that, it's waterproof, you can wear it, and it'll actually keep track of the stroke you're doing and how far you're swimming back and forth. That would be really cool, because then I wouldn't have to track anything I do. I'd be tracking everything anyway.
Don, do you track anything now?
No. No. It's either perfect or not at all.
Wow. That is a tough...
Oh, it needs to come completely... Bear spray. So,
yeah, if
that bears.
So, fitness.
Fitness in general?
No, fitness or hands. It's just like, you know, it's one of those. You either have the internal motivation or not. And
you say that, but you were a big Microsoft band programmer.
I was a huge Microsoft band person because I could write apps for it and have it track things.
And then Microsoft said,
yeah, bye.
See ya.
Never mind.
Not that Microsoft has ever done that for any other hardware technology.
Zune.
By the way, Guardians of the Galaxy 2. Yeah.
That was awesome.
My wife still owns Zune. And I still have Zune. Listens to it on a regular basis. So when she saw that scene, she hit me and said, oh, stop it. Because I was kind of giggling at my brain.
Don't spoil it. I haven't seen it yet.
So,
I mean, I think for me, that this man was...
Too bad.
You know, telling of when I was sitting at my desk all day how little I was moving. But as soon as I realized that, after that, tracking my sleep, I think I don't really value tracking my sleep. The only time the heart rate is matter to me was I got to show my doctor the history of my heart rate, but other than that, if you can't program it, why? For me. But I'm more of an internal competitive person rather than doing all of the challenges, so...
And I do know that the Samsung, I've had the S, I've had the Gear S and the Gear S2, I did not get an S3. And I also had Fitbit before that. I like all of those devices from a tracking perspective, but then what I realized was, it wasn't actually affecting me. It wasn't making any difference in how I was walking 10,000 steps every day. Yay, I was doing that anyway. I didn't change anything fundamentally. Well,
yeah, there's
you want to be fitter? Go outside and play. Come on.
Yeah, this
don't worry about how many steps you have on your Fitbit.
There's one of the MCTs in Australia that I know who's keeps on challenging me on through the Samsung app you can challenge other people, and so he keeps on challenging me to doing more steps and that sort of thing, and so he goes I'm going to walk 20,000 steps in a day, and I try to do 10,000 steps, but I'm not sure if he's actually walking, if it's just a wander walk. Because, I'll go for a run, and I won't make 10,000 steps, but I'll have gone for a 5K run.
Right.
And I don't know whether that's...
But can't you just leave the wristband on the dryer?
I haven't tried. We live in heat.
It's weird. It depends on the device.
That's right.
Some devices do actually record where you are as opposed to...
Wayne,
I'm going to take those away from you.
And analyzing everything we have about our lives that you don't really need all that data to just say go outside or get more active. That's just me. But technology, does it have to be like a wearable or can it be
No, I'm going to go to Brian next. Brian.
So the piece of technology that I'm most excited about right now is Obihi.
The what now?
The who what?
Is it something anybody else here knows about?
Apparently not.
I can't speak for anyone else but me.
Go for it. What is it?
So the Obihi is an add-on device that you put in line with Google Talk or Google Voice. And it enables you to use a standard phone for free with your standard phone number over the internet. So this is super fantastic. I can now connect... and use my data plan and no longer have to pay Verizon for a phone plan because all of that's managed by Google Voice, and my regular house line works exactly the same with the same phone number. Yahoo for that.
So can you get text?
Wow. So
don't overwhelm him.
He's just got the voice going.
Let's put in filler words.
So, I'm sorry, there was a question from the studio audience.
There were several, actually.
There were several. One at a time, please.
Can it get text?
I believe it can.
All right.
I believe it can. So it's really slick. It's been around for quite a number of years, like 2, 3, 4.
That is a number. You're correct.
Actually a couple numbers.
It's actually a couple. It's been around for a little bit longer than that, and... It's something that I've recently been doing a little research onto and going to be hopefully purchasing relatively soon.
Everyone's being very still while Kyle takes a panoramic picture of all of us here. So is that an app or is it a piece of hardware?
Yeah, for this part of it, it's a piece of hardware.
Okay.
It looks like a very small USB hub. Or a very small router, and you can plug fax lines into it. You can plug
Fax?
Well, excuse me. You're actually not plugging fax lines. You can plug for existing faxing, fax machines, or multifunction printers, along with your regular phone lines, multiple phone lines. And so, with that combined with Google Voice, you're able to have multiple phone numbers and phone lines. You've got text, you get fax, you get voice. And it's accessible both on your mobile device as well as your home line, if you still have a home line. So another reason to get rid of a home line.
It
also works, let me just add this one piece, it also works with your alarm system. So most household alarm systems still require some sort of dedicated line. With this, you no longer need that because it is supported. And you can get 911 capabilities with it as well for a couple of bucks a month if you want to pay for it.
Well, if you throw teletype in there, it does everything.
Wayne's wondering if it does telegram.
A little more stuff. So there you have it.
Thank you. There's an actual factual piece of technology.
So I have a question though, which is does it work with Google Fi? Is it Google? What's the Google Fi?
Fi.
Fo-fum. But
that was not an om, by the way.
The Google, that was. The Wi-Fi product that you can basically use everywhere and use it to call with and that sort of thing.
That one I don't know. Okay. I don't know. I haven't.
That's it. You're fired as the spokesperson for...
Oh, I didn't know I was hired. This is awesome.
For Fi-Fi Fo-Fum.
For Fi-Fi Fo-Fum.
For Robert. The concept of self-driving cars.
Seriously?
Oh. I have opinions. I know this shocks you.
I don't necessarily say that self-driving as in you just get in and you tell it where you want to go and it takes you there.
Isn't that coming
more of an augmentation to the driver. So things that it can pick up on. Well, yeah, but things that it can pick up on. Like, there are several videos out there already of Tesla's capabilities of avoiding accidents because the car was able to sense something approaching or an accident coming, but the driver didn't. So it was able to either brake or maneuver around. So to me, that is probably, of anything, one of the greatest things coming down the road.
Super cool. I agree.
So to speak. Yeah, no pun intended.
I saw the video of the first delivery delivered completely driverless or...
Autonomous?
Autonomous, yes, with the driver riding shotgun, essentially with the ability to take over if anything...
Was that the one that they...
They delivered
beer. ...the phone and picked up... Oh, there was one at, I think, an E3 conference that same thing, the guy got out and that here's the car and he said, go park on his app on his phone and the car just... took off and drove through the parking lot to find an open parking spot.
Now that's cool.
Yes.
And yeah, drop me off and then go park.
Yes. And then when he was done his presentation, he said, come pick me up at the door. And it backed out and drove to the front door.
On the sidewalk, knocking over dozens of people.
Nope, just parked right there and waited for him to show up.
I think the technology is cool. I do. I just am not ready to...
Well, I think
the new version of Blade Runner is coming out in just the 2 years. You'll get to see it in live action.
Where I think you'll see this being highly adopted is in the cities.
Yes.
Major metropolitan areas. But if you live outside or on the outskirts, I think you're still going to be driving yourself.
But I think the technology will be reused and dropped into combines and tractors and agriculture and lots of Midwestern.
I thought they already did.
There's lots of science fiction movie references going through. I've got pictures in my head of self-driving vehicles. And,
oh, like in Logan, there was that scene when they were on the highway and all the self-driving.
Sure. You had to go back to, like, 1980 for a movie. There are many parent
Logan?
Movies
that... That was called...
Oh, Logan. I thought you were talking about Logan's
that,
Run.
That's now. No, Logan's Run. Wow.
Even Combat, both of them.
Total Recall. That's one that was in my head with the Johnny Cab thing.
So as Donald said, even... Currently, like combines, farm equipment, they set it up via GPS to get the best, you know, plant product.
Out, yeah.
Yeah, the best efficiency out of the
so
plot.
So you're assuming that the modern farm or the farm of the future is going to look in exactly the way it is now, and I don't think it will.
No, I don't think so.
You just don't have the real estate or the water to do that, so go out there.
Right.
But it's a step-by-step process, right?
Mm-hmm. Sure, but they're integrating that technology as we speak.
Absolutely. Yeah, the farmers in Australia back on these stations goes to a central area, opens up the door to the shed, and there's all the sensors for all the paddocks and where the sheep are and how much water is in that trough, and he can sit there and just go bing, 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 and fill the water up.
I'd be curious to see how much .NET is running that. That would be really interesting.
Systems.
I remember video for IoT around managing the soil concentration over water or the oyster beds, the aquifer salt content, and it was an IoT specifically.
I can't help it. If it was an IoT, I'd fill in the extra letters and go, idiot.
Now, to Christine's point, my home state of Wisconsin has several very, very large, they sometimes call it perpetual farming, where the plant is grown hydroponically, and there's fish that are feeding on the algae, and then they harvest the fish and the produce, and then it there's this whole cycle of
so
life
it's an
going
ecosystem.
On, and it's in all of these these.
That's great.
I mean, actually, I can't remember what it's called, but they have like fish ponds, and then the fish, the water from the fish.
It goes through the
plants. There's a specific name for it, I don't remember, but it, the fertilizer from the fish, not the actual fish, but the fertilizer from the fish.
Isn't that a step
goes through and feeds the plants, and then the plants, the water goes back through, and it cycles back through the fish, and the fish filter it. It's different than hydroponics, though. But
yeah.
It's aquaponics or something like that.
If they're using the fish to feed the growth of potatoes, that's great. You get your fish and chips all in one spot.
But this is getting closer and closer to the Matrix. That's exactly how the Matrix started out in that opening scene, where you see the death of one person get liquefied into the...
Ew.
Hey, that's the Matrix.
Sure. Right?
Soylent Green is people.
Yeah. Soylent Green is people. What's a piece of technology are you using?
Well, we're on a kick on putting a table on the board. But my big thing right now is around DVR, or PhDVR, and addicts. Cool. So,
There's that lovely word.
We're finding a better solution for that. So
there's like three now.
Plex is the biggest.
Woohoo!
No, YouTube. You can get your local channels and you can DVR stuff to the cloud.
With YouTube.
Hulu now has it. They added it in. So you tell them what your local channels. The only thing that really annoys me about all of them is they're a little bit more expensive than I wanted to pay for it. But they also don't have some of the oddball channels like Sci-Fi or...
We have Sling. So Sling, we have Sci-Fi, we have History Channel.
Okay,
that's the big one for us, TNT, all that. But then just the DVR Plex, you know, being able to DVR without... I was really disappointed when the Xbox team said that they were not going to do DVR capabilities in the Xbox.
Well, the DVRs that... Hulu and YouTube have is DVR to the cloud.
Yeah, and so does Play On. They have cloud as well. But I was looking for something more than that. But
if anyone can ever make a suggestion on how to get your iTunes wired up with your Plex for watching videos, let me know.
Yeah.
It's killing me.
So, and then for technology, I do a lot of thought. That's been really interesting in what the natural stuff
is. We're going to have Christine back just to explain all of the technologies.
Sure.
Wait, what do you have in your hands?
What is it you're excited about that you are holding in your hand?
I'll stand up and show you.
It's small and it's bright.
It's orange.
What is it?
Yes, hold it up to the microphone. That will help.
One thing a lot of people in this room, apart from James and Colin himself, you're so used to going anywhere in the States and being able to get data plans, being able to connect to people. I don't. I've got an Australian phone, an Australian SIM. If I come over here and want to get data, it'll cost me a deal of fortune.
Okay.
Who's data? I look at data.
We speak in English.
Yes. This is Skyro. Okay? It's got a virtual SIM inside it in any country in the world. It'll pick up, and for $8 a day, gives me Wi-Fi access. I was walking.
How much Wi-Fi access?
Really good. Unlimited.
Unlimited.
No, remember, like it's unlimited, but it's the you are slowed down after the first 2 gig from memory.
Yes.
So
that's...
Still pretty good.
I'm in San Francisco. I'm walking around with this in a backpack and a phone, and I could navigate, and I could take photos, and see on the rain, and I could find where I was and what I was doing next. And when we go to Europe later on in the year, we're going to use that as well. If I go across and teach in New Zealand, I can use that in New Zealand. I can use it anywhere around the world. And that,
New Zealand
me,
won't have you when you have that.
That, to me, is something that's absolutely brilliant, because what else am I going to do? Try get an American SIM, which means I've got a phone number and something to contact me.
Yeah.
Get a dual SIM. That's great. So I've got an American and Australian, and then I go to Europe. Something like this.
How much does the device itself cost?
$11 billion.
$11 billion?
I bought it when it was a new release Kickstarter special buy for $69, I think they might be around $169 now, but you can also...
Was that $169 Aussie?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, which is about $20 US. Or $200 New Zealand. You can hire them at the airports now when you fly in. Oh. You can actually do a sky run.
So rent for those. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's it called for the viewers again?
Skyrome.com. Yeah, yeah.
That's cool.
Well, the 2-day.
I just am amazed all that everybody's getting ready to take a picture of this device so that they can go looking for it again.
The 2-day drive that we did, the road trip that Rob and I did with Don and Christine was absolutely brilliant, because even though I was
Christine,
in the car,
different Christine,
young Christine.
Whoa!
Wow!
And there'll be some editing right at that point.
do you want this sharp object?
What we are seeing now is Christine stabbing Wayne in the eye with a digital pen.
That's a very nice device.
It was. I'm sitting in the car driving along, and I'm sending photos to Lorraine, and she's tracking me as we're going down Route 66 and across the desert. It was really, really
probably
cool.
Making sure you weren't over drinking.
Well, actually, what I did was I took a photo of how hot it was outside, and the one thing that Lorraine focused on was the fact that, what speed are you meant to be doing? Dawn was doing 85. She said, what's the speed limit there? And I said,
if there is one.
That's alleged.
I've got the photo of what the speed limit was.
I'm pretty sure that as Don says, that was alleged. Like, it was probably, possibly the angle you were looking at that made the needle look as though it was.
You were looking at kilometers per hour.
Yes.
Oh, so yours was in kilometers an hour, was it? 85 is damn slow, mate. That's only 50 miles an hour.
Well, in a 45 zone. So, Mr. Kirkery.
Yes.
Paper Blades.
The man who prefers to live by...
osmosis.
Counting ups and ahs. Do you have a technical device for doing so, or do you have a paper device?
Actually, I'm building some software that uses Azure Cognitive Services to do exactly that.
Count your ums and ahs?
Facial recognition, body language. So there's a paper that a group of PhDs wrote, and they're using similar technology, some co-opting some of the technology to add to my existing portfolio of tools for helping their parents.
Cool.
Well, there's that
squirrel.
Too. Absolutely.
We're joined very lately.
Lately?
Yes, because this is almost over.
I just got out.
Bye.
Yeah.
We're still going.
Yeah, we're still going.
We've just been interrupted. Well, no, we've been added to by...
I was interrupted mid-story.
By William Wood.
Come back over here. All's forgiven. Yeah.
You don't have to sit way over there. Oh, he's coming back over. Wait.
we changed our mind.
Is anybody else coming?
So cognitive services to be able to basically see what people are doing and listen and interpret.
Correct.
Cool.
Not unlike the NSA.
Correct.
They're listening to this, you know.
I know.
Okay.
That's one of our listeners.
Right.
That's the other listener.
The other related project that Christine was mentioning is I started this project. I took this $40 remote control toy that shoots plastic pellets because I have squirrels in my front yard. Gutted it, replaced it with.
Not the squirrel.
Well, right.
Not yet.
Replace the electronics with new electronics. So there's a Raspberry Pi motherboard. There will be up to 3 cameras, so steering, targeting, and backup. And the goal is that I will be able to remote control, shoot at things in my front yard. No squirrels will be actually harmed, to your knowledge.
Allegedly.
He also put in a proton accelerator in it so that the beads are now moving at near the light speed light.
Wait until he tells you about the flux capacitor he's putting in.
And he may or may not have gotten any
most awesome add-on for the project. So she came across using Azure Cognitive Services to detect what the camera's looking at. So the example they actually use is a squirrel. So if it detects a squirrel, the firing mechanism gets live.
It takes a cat. It says, cat, not squirrel, don't shoot.
Correct.
Right. And does it return its information to the IoT site through message queuing so that you can keep track of all of that?
That strange voice was Bill Wood.
That's right.
It was Bill Wood. From Maryland.
Yes.
So I think we should make Bill talk now.
Bill just did talk.
Actually, I was going to say that Kyle, myself, and James will have another round of devices that we can record that another time.
Yes, so, sure.
William, since you came in, we're talking about our favorite technology device currently, right
Rated
now.
Rated G.
Wow. Yeah, because Wayne brought something out that we weren't sure if we wanted to see.
Anyway. That's a really good question. It's probably going to be the sensors for gaming systems that keep track of how you work. And
did you just train a voice?
I did.
What do you mean, like a Kinect sensor
for Xbox or the VR sensors for the games for the hands and stuff.
Yeah.
So to me, that the ability for that stuff to be used in future environments and the expansion of it's pretty much limitless. I mean, I was talking to another former trainer today of what he uses his Kinect sensors for, so it can automatically pause the movie when you leave the room, kind of stuff like that. So, you know, the avenues that can take beyond gaming is pretty interesting.
I have seen some illustrations, even at this secret location that we're at, where they showed a person who was using augmented reality in the form of HoloLens, and they were able to see what they were looking at, and then that was somehow tied in through a Vive or something like that, and other people's avatars were there representing what they were looking at, or they were all looking at the same thing virtually, but they were all looking at it and they could see sort of a representation of each other, which I thought was kind of cool.
That is interesting.
Because that brings the virtual classroom more to being an actual classroom again.
Cool. Judy, really exciting when you can say that.
Sure. Yeah.
That's similar to what was available in Second Life.
Yes, very similar.
Which was there was a big thing about that. You know, there was going to be virtual classrooms. That's the thing. People would fly in and fly out. That's the thing. So I think that's now we're getting to the technology that actually would look real.
Yes,
as opposed to the way that it did.
Right.
Ready Player One.
The book. Yep. And the
movie's coming out.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know about the movie?
March next year.
The book was very good. Ready Player One.
There, for some reason, that is like viral. Everybody who I talk to at a technology, do you read that book?
I don't know how they're going to get it into 2 hours.
I don't know.
It should be three movies. One for each key.
I don't know what it is.
Maybe they'll do like The Hobbit and take one book and turn it into 12 movies.
Well, since William joined us, I think we should probably do our housekeeping because I know some people have to leave us.
That's true. And now that William's joined, we've got to go. Is
so
that what you say?
I show up, everybody leaves.
Sure. Hey,
this is
But before we leave, William should introduce himself and tell us how people could reach him if they wanted to.
Oh, so my name is Bill Wood. People call me Bill. I've been an MCT since 1996. My email address is bill_wood44@hotmail.com.
Excellent.
Is that your shoe size, man?
The 44?
Yeah.
That's my IQ. Fine.
I think it's interesting that you specifically stress that people call you Bill, and I've never once called you Bill. You've always been William Wood.
So you're the only one.
See? Or perhaps your mother?
No. My mother, when I was always in trouble, it would be William Allen.
Ah, okay. Right?
Whenever moms use the middle name, you're in trouble.
So to close us out then, I'd like to thank our group of illustrious MCTs and Wayne for joining us.
Because I'm the only MCT here.
Harsh. So thank you for taking your time. We're holding you back from the bar, so we won't do that for very much longer.
Yes.
We'd like to thank our sponsor, Learn On Demand Systems, who, as always, provide not really a lot for us to do this, apart from some time. But no, it's very...
If anybody has any job openings, Kyle will soon be looking.
As always, if you do want to reach the show, you can get us at on Twitter at TuesdayTTT, or you can subscribe to our podcast through trainertechtalk.net. And as always, if you've enjoyed the podcast, this has been another episode of Trainers Talking Tech on Tuesday. If you haven't, then thanks for joining Patch and Switch.